Okay, it's live on Talk Radio Europe, and I think we're having some a little bit of an echo here, but we'll try. Antonio Flores, how are you?
Very well, yourself?
Very well, Antonio. And yes, you sound like you're in a wind tunnel somewhere.
Is it a bit echoey here?
Yeah, it's okay. We can get by. It's fine. Have you had your vaccine?
Yeah. Ever since you don't invite me to the studio, this is what happens.
I think we're allowed to invite you back in again. I'll have a word, Antonio.
Yeah. You know, this is we're almost about to beat it. You know.
Yeah, we're nearly there. Have you had your vaccine yet?
I'm too young, mate. I was just
checking because you're a little bit older than me. I was just wondering whether.
You always remind me, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, but you look a lot younger than me. What's all that about? Oh dear. No, I mean, I just saw today that they're announcing in Spain that the Janssen vaccine is going to be apparently going to the 40 to 49 age group. Now, I wouldn't even guess which age group you're in, Antonia.
Well, I'd be between 40 and 48.
Yes.
Somewhere around there.
All right. Okay.
I'd be more specific, but. Yeah, I'm actually 48. So, 48. I mean, I should be getting a call anytime now.
Yeah, you should be really, because you've got a 3 years advantage on me, so you'll be a few weeks ahead, maybe.
I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, just let me know. My wife's had it because she's a teacher, so she had hers, and she's only 39. So,
all right.
But there we go. Now we're talking today, and if anybody wants to get in touch with us, do you get in touch with a question for Antonio about the law here in Spain. If you've got anything that's bothering you, worrying you, if we can't get an answer straight away, we'll certainly try and get one for you. So you can WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. You can call me directly into the studio and speak to Antonio yourself, 952 78 4000, 952 78 4000, or studio at tre.radio. Antonio, then, we're talking about comparative law. What is comparative law?
Okay, comparative law is in effect the science of studying laws or comparing laws of different countries. Mm. Okay, you know, you can do comparative law studies on Spanish, UK, Spanish, French, UK, yeah. German law.
We do it all the time, you know, as expats.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so you probably do it here all the time on a daily basis, and you don't realize, you know.
Yeah.
But it's happening. And what I've done is I've just sort of selected a few points which I think are very interesting, because points of law which differ significantly between the two legal systems.
Yes.
Now, one of them is, and this is a very common one, inheriting in Spain and inheriting in the UK.
Yes.
You know, in Spain, you can actually inherit debts. You can inherit liabilities, whereas in the UK you can't. In the UK you've got a person called the executor, who will pay the debts, will pay creditors, taxes, anything owed on the estate, and then the remaining amount will go to the beneficiaries written in the will. In Spain it doesn't happen that way. You could go to the notary, you can inherit, and you could find that you've just inherited a massive mortgage or a massive debt which you didn't know anything about, and you become personally liable with your existing assets. Okay, so it's important to keep this in mind. This is why in Spain, a lot of inheritance are not claimed. So they just go, as we call, deserted. People don't turn up to inherit their parents.
Antonio, I'm going to ask you, is there a little bit of, off the record now, obviously, is there a little bit of, right, tell me how much I'm going to get, and I'll decide if I'm going to turn up or not.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
In fact, there is a system called the benefit of inventory, where you can actually inherit it subject to a verification of the residual estate, what is left.
Yeah.
You know, if there is more positive than negative. So you've got a period of time to look into it. If it's negative, then you refuse it. If not, then you go for it. So that's a system there. But, you know, a lot of people who've inherited their elder ones or have chosen not to inherit them because of the debts, but people who didn't know about it, they've ended up, you know, absorbing mortgages and other debts of their parents, so they didn't know about that.
But so anyway, is that official then, you know, the having that time period to work out whether you want to have it or not? Is that kind of official, or is that kind of going on just because that's the way it goes? That's kind of the norm.
That's a modality. That's a possibility under Spanish law.
Yeah.
And the civil code has that option. So you have to officially apply for it at the notary office. So so that has to be done. Otherwise, you will be understood as inheriting fully and are limitedly.
Yeah. So you have to actually make a decision with the help of a lawyer, I should imagine, to say, I'm not interested in this.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, more than a lawyer, I mean, the first thing is to know if the person leaving you an estate, what exactly was that estate made up of, you know, just to do a bit of investigation. Now, you know, if it's going to be your family members, then you can more or less know what situation they're in. But if it's someone else, which is not so common, but if it's someone else, then it's good to do some due diligence and research. And, of course, go see a lawyer.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a big difference, then, isn't it, between the UK and Spain?
That's a big difference, yeah. I mean, there are other points. Let me run through other points. Judgments by default, okay?
Yeah.
In the UK, a default judgment is a binding arrangement a binding judgment in favour of, normally it's a claimant. If the defendant hasn't responded to the summons or he's failed to appear in court. Now, that's pretty much happening all the time. In Spain, it doesn't happen. In Spain, the court or the judge has to be satisfied that the allegations and the evidence put forward in your claim is sort of sound and enough for him to grant judgment. We had one case where we lost, where the defendant was not even present. So, you know, you can imagine that in Spain, sometimes it's worse not to have an opponent than to have one, okay? Because you don't have anyone to fight against. So, you know, sometimes your allegations can look really far-fetched because there isn't someone else to say, yeah, well, this is true, Your Honor, but this isn't. So we, most of the times, prefer to have a defendant than not to have a defendant.
Oh, right, yes,
of course. It's a very interesting one. Yeah, it's a very interesting one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we've got the right to counteract what they say. There is discussion going on in court, whereas if there isn't, the judge might be a bit sort of suspicious.
Yeah.
Another one, award on legal cost. Okay, in the UK, you have a situation where, I mean, law firms can estimate their legal costs based on a number of a detailed list of things they've done. You know, they've written letters, they've met, they've gone to court. They tend to be very minutely detailed. Okay, so if you lose a case in the UK, then the other lawyer will give you a bill, which is going to be all itemized, and then you can challenge it in court. In Spain, this doesn't happen. In Spain, it's basically already fixed by reference to Law Society fee guidelines. Okay, so if you lose a case and you are made forced to pay costs, those costs will be fixed on the legal fee guideline of the Law Society.
Yeah.
Okay, they might have a little variation depending on the complexity, but that might be 10-15% up or down. But it's actually fixed. So you know in Spain, when you go into a court case, what will it cost you if you lose? And I think this is a positive point.
Yes. So you kind of know then in advance, Antonio, that, you know, you know what you're going to, you know, you can almost budget for it, I suppose.
You know, David, in Spain, a 10K court case will never cost you 20K.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
It will cost you 2K at the most.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know exactly that, you know, you can budget for losing. In other places, I believe in the UK, it depends on the work the lawyer puts in.
Yes.
So especially the other lawyer. Yeah. So
that's a positive thing in Spain's. That sounds better. Because in the UK, you could be stung and not know where it's going to end up.
Exactly. You know, it could just mount up and you end up owing more to the lawyers than you end up, you know, than the actual quantum of the, and I've seen that in divorce cases.
Yeah,
lawyers were getting more than the actual, the opposing party in a matrimonial dispute.
Yeah,
which I think it's completely disproportionate. It's wrong.
Do the lawyers in the UK make more money, Antonio?
I think so. I think so. In litigation, they do.
Yeah,
because they make the money. I mean, okay, there is a very similar system, which is the pro bono or no win, no fee. They also have that system.
Yeah,
although
there
it can go up to 50% of the claimed amount, whereas in Spain it could be in the region of 20-25%. Actually, up until a few years ago, it was illegal in Spain to do no win, no fee. You know?
Now it is legal. Because you hear adverts for it even now in Spain, don't you?
You do hear, but the Law Society said that it was indignifying for the profession, so they banned it. So what happened is the Committee for Free Competition denounced the Law Society and said that they were hindering free competition, and the Law Society was fined. for doing that.
The Law Society was fined. That's a headline in itself, isn't it, really?
Well, because they said that a law firm is no different than any other profession. There's no more
dignity. Free market, basically.
It's a free market, and they need to allow that, you know? Within a certain code of practice, but you should be allowed to advertise. If you want neon, signs, which in Spain was banned before, you can also do that, because they don't do it like in America. You look, see in America how they do advertising, but in Spain it's opened up. But it used to be a very sort of old-fashioned system, governed by very old rules.
And the thing is, we don't want to turn into America where there's lawsuits left, right, and centre all the time. But
We don't want to get to that point. Because over there everything's judicialized, especially insurance claims, and there's for everything pretty much. Personal injury, you've got a lawyer for anything. You've got ambulance chasing was born in the UK, in the US, and probably went to the UK to a certain extent. In Spain, that culture does not exist. It's very rare.
Are there any other comparative laws that jump out at you, Antonio, between the UK and Spain?
There is another one, which is rental contracts. Now, in Spain, you have a substantial number of, and I'm going to talk about residential rentals, number of implied terms, These are clauses that you cannot override. These are clauses which, even if you don't write them into a contract, they exist and they are, the parties are bound by them. Mm. Now, this is, for example, the term of the rental agreement, that's one of them. Deposits, the right to pull out after 6 months. You have the right to withdraw from a rental agreement as a tenant and not have to pay the full term. So there are clauses that are fixed. Now, there are others which you can negotiate. For example, who pays for repairs or maintenance? Are pets allowed? Yes or no? Yeah. A number of smaller things, but the basics are covered. We always say in Spain that rental contracts, we always say, don't worry about the contract. Worry about your tenant as a landlord, as a tenant, it similarly works. I mean, it works the same way. Make sure your landlord is going to be looking after you.
And I think a lot of the things which can end up being a dispute are dealt with relationally, and if you can do it like that and have a relatively good friendship, or not friendship, but a relatively good relationship with your landlord or your tenant, then it's going to work out for everybody. Of course, that's just common sense.
Yeah, it's just that, a lot of tenants a lot of tenants, what they do is they pay, and then when they get to the end, they don't want to pay the last 2 months or whatever, and they claim there's been some damages and they had to pay for taps and things, and they deduct it off, which is, again, illegal. Now, in the UK, I think the Tenancy Act doesn't have such a force. Like, for example, they can't determine that 5 years is a minimum term for a contract, optional on the tenant. I don't actually know the law in the UK so well in respect to rental contract, but I think in Spain it's very much controlled by the state, protecting tenants, which I'm in favour of.
Well, I'm telling you, I've heard a lot of people say, and friends of mine that are renting have said, actually, I'm not going to pay the last month. I'm going to, because they owe me 600 or 700 or whatever, 1,000 on the deposit. So I'm simply not going to pay the last month. And if they give me anything else back, then that's great. But otherwise, at least I'm guaranteed that amount of money. So is that legal?
You know what happens with a lot of tenants? They fear that if they pay the last month, and when the visit comes to take over the property and to review the house, that the landlord will not repay the deposit because they'll start, pointing out defects and small things that you need to be, a cushion or the mattresses or whatever, So a lot of them say, I want to cover my back, and what I'll do is I will not pay the last month. And if they do not want to give in my deposit back, then that's it, They can keep the deposit. So we're equal. Now, that the law doesn't allow, but it's custom. It's become custom because it's a mutual distrust situation, unfortunately. And unless there's been building of a relationship between tenant and landlord, which just runs so smoothly that would not be enough or necessary. That's unfortunately what ends up happening, you know. And don't forget, here in the Costa del Sol, as well as in Costa Blanca and other places, you tend to get people a lot of the times who are from different countries and may not speak the same language,
yeah.
Or, you know, get to even know each other because there is a real estate agent in the middle. So that also causes many times situations of distrust.
You know? His agents, yeah. I mean, exactly. We had a relatively good friendship with our landlord, and then he refused to give us the deposit back. So I wish I had done that now. But, you know, but because I thought it was going well, I was expecting to get the money back, and it just didn't happen. So you can understand why people do that.
Yeah, but, you know, landlords play with the fact that, you know, if you've got a month and you have to go to a lawyer, the lawyer at the minimum is going to ask you for a few hundred euros, which yeah. could be as much as the deposit. So you end up just saying, you know, just waving a goodbye. So this is why, yeah, a lot of landlords do that. I can understand both sides.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, that's why, for example, there's been the government introduced certain offices in various provinces of the country to deal with deposits, you know, so you had to go and claim the deposit from the, you know, respective office of each community of regional yeah. community. But it is complicated because, you know, you've got to travel to the city and so on. Just make it more cumbersome and more paperwork for a rental, which might be for a year or something. So it's not proven effective. But, you know, we'll just have to carry on as it is, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's always good. Yeah. I mean, the ideal situation is that landlords and tenants know each other. They trust each other and they can shake hands and that's it, you know. Not yeah. even need a contract. That would be ideal, you know. It's not good for lawyers.
Well, that'll be, you know? No, it won't be for you guys. Antonio, unfortunately we're out of time. If anybody wants to get in touch with you and get some answers to some questions, maybe, how can they do that?
They can call us on 952-861-890.
And again,
952-861-890.
Yes.
Or they can email us on info@lawbird.com.
Lovely. info@lawbird.com. Thank you, Antonio, and we'll speak again soon. Stay safe, my friend.
Dave, it's a pleasure.
Cheers. Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.